Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. How you doing? Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And like all the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. I hope you guys are doing okay out there. Hope you've been spending time with family or at least staying healthy or staying safe indoors. That's what the Soucys have been doing for the most part here in the last week. So thanks again for Brian Hartz for being on the show last week. And as I mentioned at the end of last week's show, I wanted to hear from you folks as to what you've been watching in the last week since we've been cooped up for the most part. There is one new film, but it's of course not in theaters right now. Called Swallow, which I'll get to in a minute. It was after we had recorded last week's show. It's probably half a day later when I saw that the news came out that all the movie theaters have been shut down. And now I'm wondering if movie theaters are going to become a thing of the past because of digital, because of streaming, because of this. Personally, I hope it doesn't. We're mammals, as my character said in 26 Pebbles, the play that isn't getting mounted. We're mammals. We need to be together. And the movies, just like theater, just like music, just like art, it can be a communal experience. And when the film is good and the audience is responding the right way, it can be one of the best experiences you've ever had. At least it is for me. No matter how big your television screen is. And I know that there's always rotten members of the audience, and we hope that that doesn't deter from the communal experience. The theater is a gathering place, a gorgeous director once said. Well, she has said that several times. So hoping once we get past all this that the cinemas will not become a thing of the past. But I do want to mention a film that is new, and you have to look for it. But it's a dark comedy drama called Swallow, starring and executive produced by Haley Bennett, and it starts out as a kind of a beautiful blonde trophy wife who is ignored by her husband, ignored by her in-laws, expected to be blonde, pretty, quiet, and she turns to an addiction. It's not Mother's Little Helper, and it's not liquid, and it's not pills. It's swallowing small items. And there's some squirm-inducing there for you. And as the film goes on, it goes almost from a satire about the trophy wife to finding oneself. And as the film goes on, we hear more about her past. She is more than just arm candy for her businessman husband, who's inheriting the dad's business eventually. But the more we see into her past, which reveals some of her behavior, Haley Bennett is the anchor of the film, and is worth checking out for her performance to see her go from almost a plastic beginning in the first few minutes of the film to the journey she takes on the end. So look for a film called Swallow. And I didn't get a chance to mention this. I'll go through my titles first, and then I'll start reading your titles. I asked people on Facebook and Twitter to tell me what you've been watching since last week and what we've been watching since we cooped up. I dedicate this review to Simon Majumder, who's been on this show a couple of times. Film Movement Classics, they've been sending out films of Ealing Studios, the British movie studio back in the 40s and 50s. known for their lightweight comedies and really fun stuff. In fact, one of the Blu-rays is a double feature from director Alexander McKendrick, who would later give us The Lady Killers and The Man in the White Suit. The first one being from 1948 called Whiskey Galore, and it's the story of what happens when a small Scottish island town runs out of whiskey and what happens when a ship is stuck near grounds and it's full of whiskey. I've talked before on this show of my love of films like Local Hero, Waking Ned Divine, The Englishman That Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain, those kind of quaint little cinematic UK towns where it looks like it is the perfect place on earth to live. And I watching Whiskey Galore, it feels like it's the grandfather of those films that I was raving to you about, where and everybody in town is conspiring to pull off a little something. In this case, is hoarding as much whiskey as they can. And it's just a lot of fun. It's just a right lightweight tone and good performances from Basil Radford, Joan Greenwood, and the like. The other film that's on here is a film called The Maggie, which is about a small time ship captain who winds up getting a job and winds up getting chased around a little bit for the work that he's doing. Hubert Gregg, Alex McKenzie is in this. Paul Douglas is the star. But it's I didn't like it as much as Whiskey Galore, but it's you could do a lot worse. It's a decent romp. But this is a fun double feature courtesy of Film Movement Classics. To give you a heads up of what it's like in our household, the Soci Trio, we make sure we have solo time together, and then dinner and a movie or a viewing of some kind. Last week, after my daughter's production of Fun Home closed at Footlight Musicals, we started things off with the drama Call Me By Your Name. And this was a film I had seen before, but my smarter two-thirds had not. Of course, this is the film that Timothée Chalamet earned a Best Actor nomination. And James Ivory finally won a screenplay award for all of his, kind of a career retrospect, but still pretty good nonetheless. So Lynn and Emma enjoyed that film, as did I. And I didn't mind the pacing of it. Joe Bayline, if you're listening. No, I think it's he said to me if he didn't think it lived up to its hype. And I say a film is a film. It doesn't create a hype. It just exists. But it was one of those where it's at 2 hours and 15 minutes or so. I did not mind spending a leisurely summer in northern Italy with these characters. So that was last, and then last weekend here in the building, I had finished the American Film Theater box set, which had film versions of plays like A Delicate Balance and Celebration, Homecoming, The Man in the Glass Booth. Watched the film The Rose, Mark Rydell's drama. It was Bette Midler's film debut, where she plays a burnt-out rock singer, not Janis Joplin, because Janis Joplin was the Pearl. This is The Rose. You kind of get the gist of that. Really good performance from Midler, as well as Frederick Forrest, who received the nomination, Alan Bates, David Keith. And it inspired me to do a couple of artists on this weekend's Blues House Party because the album soundtrack was produced by Paul Rothchild, and Norton Buffalo is on harmonica. Another film I had purchased at a pawn shop. It's amazing what I'll buy for $1 or $2. But the Italian film Melina, which has a small Italian town in World War II, and everyone's obsessed with the married woman who happens to live alone, played by Monica Bellucci. This was put out in the 90s. In particular, a young boy who's obsessed with her. It's a kind of a coming-of-age story for him. Meanwhile, you watch at times an entire town turn into a Tex Avery cartoon anytime Monica Bellucci walks by. I understand. One of the things I was binge watching, and I thank my coworker Roxana Caldwell for turning me on to this, was the series version of High Fidelity. Now, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter and wife got to watch the film. I was working, and kind of jealous that Emma got to experience this film without me, but then again, I probably would be very verbal as far as the music and the punchlines. And I was told that on Jack Black's first entrance, my daughter said that there's dad. But the series, executive produced and starring Zoe Kravitz, is also very is equally good as the film. The changes that they made for modern times is perfectly fine. Really good music. There's only one quibble I have, and it's one of those music nerd quibbles, is one particular episode where they drag out the instrumental section of Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. Everything else is pretty solid. So, I'm a record store guy, so go look for that. That's I believe it's on Hulu. So we would do, so in the Soci House we will have a solo time and then dinner and a movie. Well, and now we're trying to one night Emma will pick, one night Lynn will pick, and one night I will pick. And one night Emma selected Julie and Julia, which we needed to revisit. That was one that we watched quite a bit in her younger days. As good as Meryl Streep is, and I believe my daughter Emma has Stanley Tucci in the All-Time Cinema Husband Hall of Fame, the Amy Adams portion is not bad. I know critics at the time kind of gave her a little bit of a brow beating. If her story isn't there, we have just another biopic with Meryl Streep. And so I don't mind the balance at all, and it's a lot of fun. There are also times, folks, where I'm usually the first one up and my curiosity gets the best or worst out of me. And it's a filmmaker who has fascinated me, even if I don't always enjoy the films that he puts out, but I gave it a shot. I saw the latest film from Lars von Trier, The House That Jack Built, starring Matt Dillon as a serial killer, and five incidents of this man's craft. And I say that with a tongue in cheek. So I saw Breaking the Waves in the theater back in the 90s, and it blew me away. And I was a fan of Dogville and some of those films from that era. Obviously, he likes to push boundaries. And, well, let's put it this way. Stacey Sudeville, who has been on this show many times, has a nickname for him. And it's F this guy. That's a good way of putting it. You know, Antichrist was hard to watch. Melancholia, I liked it more than some other people. Nothing like the end of the world to bring two sisters together. As I mentioned, there are certain films I have to watch by myself. But since we are stuck in our houses, I am usually the first one up and I can watch something before the smarter two-thirds wake up. In fact, a couple years back, it was one of those days Lynn and Emma were both out of the house for the entire day, and I rented both parts of Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac. That way you don't have to explain or have to answer questions on why in God's name are you watching this. There are moments of this film that work. Matt Dillon, I think, does a good job as the title character. Bruno Ganz shows up as what sounds like a priest, but he turns out to be something much more after it's all said and done. Uma Thurman's in this show as well. She doesn't have a great role to work with as far as a hitchhiker who talks about serial killers. It is an upsetting film, and I gave it a shot. I tried. So I watched it so you didn't have to. It does leave an unpleasant taste, and use of David Bowie's fame will be – I'll have to come up with a new image when it comes to that. Now, I shift from The House That Jack Built to a film I have on Blu-ray that I was very excited to finally have in my possession. I'm a person of a certain age and a film fan of a certain age of enjoying the books of the Medved brothers. Yes, including Michael Medved. Yes, that Michael Medved. But the Golden Turkey Award books and the Hollywood Hall of Shame, those books that were published in the late 70s, early 80s. And I would read these at least once a year, looking for titles, wondering where I could find this, where I could find that. And a film that has been in the Medved brother books was finally put out on Blu-ray earlier this year. I got to watch the 1966 big-budget melodrama The Oscar, starring Stephen Boyd and a galaxy of stars like Elkie Summer, making his acting debut Tony Bennett, Joseph Cotten, Ernest Borgnine, Edie Adams, or Eva. Oh my gosh, it's so music by Percy Faith. And Jill St. John is in this as well. And it's the story of an up-and-coming actor who's not a, played by Stephen Boyd, who's not a nice person to begin with. And as he becomes more famous and more powerful, doesn't really change a whole lot. There are films like this that like to poke fun or peek behind the curtain or see how the sausage is made with show business. Valley of the Dolls is another one, which that would actually be a fun double feature. But this is one that just hits the wrong notes all the time. The dialogue really, really wants to be sweet smell of success, especially with Tony Bennett's character, and that's not the case. There's a commentary track that with actually two commentary tracks, one of which involves Patton Oswalt, and it's kind of a Mystery Science Theater-esque riff on the film. It did earn two Academy Award nominations, one for costume design and one for set design. And the commentary track eviscerates both nominations. It's fun to listen to. Stephen Boyd does a lot of major hand acting, a lot of going from 0 to 60 emotionally. Those scenes happen in this film, but just getting the wrong tone. There's a few scenes in a bedroom that have Batman angles. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of fun and a really fun fake it out at the end. Anyway, if you're into ham-fisted big budget melodrama, it's worth checking out, and I'm glad I did. There's another one of these films that came out on Blu-ray that I now have, and I will hopefully talk about it on next week's show. Ooh, Freud. Because it's St. Patrick's Day, we had a tradition of, at least for me, and we brought Emma into it. I always watched The Quiet Man, and that was followed by The Commitments. Emma, well, as a strong, independent teenage girl, not particularly crazy about the film, but I like watching it for John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. The other part that you have to remember with a new audience is John Ford, of course, won Best Director for The Quiet Man, one of his four Oscars for directing, none of them a Western. Another thing for another time. But there's some absolutely gorgeous footage of Ireland. This was shot on location, which means the studio stuff is that much more blatant. But that's just a part of what happens when you're making films back in the middle part of the 20th century. So my eyes adjust to it a little easier. The 18-year-old, not so much. I understand. And The Commitments is just fun. Great music. And you can see why Alan Parker's films are well-edited. It got an editing nomination and well-deserved. Not quite the Irish Blues Brothers, although there's a lot of folks that thought that that was an actual band after it was all said and done. But it's still a fun romp. And as somebody who's been involved with bands for most of his life, I relate to a lot of it. And then my wife, Mrs. Sosi, Lynn, made a ratatouille. And we watched Ratatouille, which was fun to revisit. Emma said it was at one number one or number two on her all-time Disney Pixar list, and I'm with her on that. It's Patton Oswalt does a great vocal job, and it still holds up. Still love hearing Ian Holm and Peter O'Toole doing some animated work. Speaking of Ian Holm, after that film, we watched Big Night, which is always dear Criterion. Now that you've put out Local Hero, and I appreciate that you did, probably my next three movie requests that you put out: Big Night, Tender Mercies, Round Midnight, and Three the Hard Way. I know that's not going to happen. Anyway, going from Big Night, and then last night, we made Cabanyara and watched Moonstruck, which I haven't seen in quite a while. My wife's the same way. My daughter loved it. What's funny about my teenage film-loving daughter is she loved Moonstruck, thoroughly loved it, and was still ticked off that Moonstruck won Best Original Screenplay instead of Broadcast News, and that Cher won Best Actress instead of Holly Hunter. There's just no pleasing some people, and I live with her. Thank you, sweetheart. All right, let's get to what you've been watching since we've been going through all this. Jared writes, The Walking Dead outbreak, ...for real. But more simply, we downloaded Abominable and we'll watch Amadeus as a part of our homeschool studies. Well done, Jared. Channing writes, watched Argento's Deep Red, but it didn't work well as background noise while working since, like all Argento flicks, is visually oriented, not... Yeah. Heather wrote, we recently watched Midsummer since I saw Florence Pugh in Little Women. I really enjoy her acting. You knew what Midsummer was about, so that's fine. Missy, I'll be watching stuff all this weekend as I've been at work all week. I'll keep you posted. Thank you, dear. Valerie, the Amy Winehouse documentary. Good choice. Nick Rogers, who's been on this show. We rewatched A Town Called Panic the other night, a wonderful stop motion animation film, perfect for families seeking something left of center and whose kids can read subtitles. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. So, oh, by the way, if you haven't gotten the pencil and paper by now, get cracking. Michael writes, I watched Tootsie again. It was funnier this time around and a great escape. It's so well done. The perfect break in this new reality. Ty wrote all of the Leprechaun films. Okay. Joellen wrote Rope and Shadow of a Doubt. Chloe wrote Snowpiercer, The Descent 2. In parentheses, awful. And I rewatched Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, High Fidelity, just because I watched a Hulu series, and Some Like It Hot. Good choices there, Chloe. Andrew wrote I Am Big Bird. Thank you. Steve wrote Idiocracy. Seems we are ahead of schedule and can't hardly wait. Emily wrote, I watched Space Jam and the 1980 Popeye. I watched Popeye recently with a group of guys earlier this year. Of course, that's the Robin Williams, Shelley Duvall Popeye musical. Music by Harry Nilsson, directed by Robert Altman. It's intriguing. It's not what the studio wanted, but it is... It's better than I thought it was when I first saw it. I think I was, I believe, 10 when that came out. And I think people were, as much as the performances by Shelley Duvall and Robin Williams were animated, it was for some of us the first encounter with an origin story, because every other thing now is an origin story, but not so much in 1980. Jan writes, Terminator Dark Fate. I've watched the first one 100 years ago, and now this one. What did I not know about it? Three women Shiros. One androgynous enhanced human, one badass Latinx, and uber badass in Linda Hamilton around age 60. Plus Arnold, of course, with some fabulous self-deprecating humor. Storyline a bit confusing with the future and present conflating, but good story and awesome women. Jan, I had to remove one of those adjectives. It's all right. Spencer wrote, binge watched a Castle Rock series, which has led me to watch the good Stephen King movies, The Shining, The Dark Half, and The Dead Zone. Looking for Christine right now. Probably watch the original Christopher Reeve Superman this weekend with my son. Patty wrote, Whiskey Galore, the 2016 version. I Wake Up Screaming, Song of the Sea, About Time, Wuthering Heights, the Laurence Olivier version. Marianne wrote Dark Water, Loose, Super 8, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the documentary or the feature film, love, Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham, and the original 101 Dalmatians. Somebody's grandchild is around. Aaron Brockovich, Pretty Woman, Sleeping with the Enemy, of course. Abby writes, we've been exploring episodes of Nova on Netflix, slightly irked that they are all listed as separate short documentaries rather than episodes of an overarching show, but fascinating variety of subjects from ancient technology to animals, natural weapons to the developing research on black holes. Thank you, Abby. Frank wrote, you've watched one of the very best food films of all time. I think he's talking about Julie and Julia or Big Night. Here are my favorites of that genre. Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. Big Night, Babette's Feast, Burnt, Jiro Dreams of Sushi, and Ratatouille. Sam Wattermeyer, who's been on this show, I recently watched the documentary Long Shot on Netflix. It's partly about how raw footage from Curb Your Enthusiasm helped exonerate a man wrongfully charged for murder. Beautiful story. Larry David is a hero. I need to see that as well, Sam. I know the story behind the incident. Jamie writes, The Hunger Games, all four. I love the story and I love the books. I'm waiting to read them again until the prequel comes out in May. David writes, Jojo Rabbit. Becky writes, Roman Holiday was a complete escape. Delaney has been watching Snow White so much that she has every sound effect memorized. Those cheerful songs running through one's head ain't so bad either. I agree. Yeshua writes, don't know why, but I've been watching everything with Arnold in it from the 80s. Always start with Conan. Beverly writes, The Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's still ending. Jolene writes, Jolene's been on this show. We've been making our way through the Harry Potters and the Lord of the Rings. Whew. I don't know what will be next since we just recently listed all the Marvel movies in chronological order. Oh, and I forgot that Disney Plus has been playing the old classics in the background on most days. Lovely. Heather writes, my choices are all on the obvious side. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, Miracle Mile, Last Night, Melancholia, Southland Tales, 28 Days Later, and the 1-2 Cronenberg punch of Rabid and Shivers. Oh, man. Gonna treat myself to the Soska Sisters Rabid remake once the lockdown officially starts. I'm saving it as a reward. Robin writes, watch Airplane because we all picked the wrong week to give up. Fill in the blank. Mike writes, Jojo Rabbit, Frozen 2, Spies in Disguise, Night at the Museum 2, and all Jumanji films. I believe, yeah, the latest Jumanji film is now out on home video. Chris writes, Midsummer, Waves, I do like Waves, Shadow of a Doubt, Umbrellas of Cherbourg, and Dirty Harry. In that order? Sharon writes, Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin and Queen Latifah. It always makes me laugh. Bonnie writes, Mary Queen of Scots, Black Klansman, and The Quiet Man, so far. John Krull, who's been a guest on this show, Out of Africa, and A Very Long Engagement. Good double feature there. Stephanie writes, Introduced my daughter to E.T. She loved it, hoping to show her more childhood classics. In fact, every other week on Fridays on the AV Club, they talk about, I believe it's the Popcorn Greats, the biggest money-making film of the year, and they break it down. They started in the 60s. This week, they do discuss E.T. in the AV Club. Jeff writes, Just finished Watership Down on Netflix. Not as gory as the original, but a great adaptation nonetheless. John writes, the Netflix series Surviving Escobar. Taylor writes, the Thin Man series and Sitting Pretty. Good choice. I just watched the Thin Man series earlier this year, courtesy of my in-laws. Emily writes, I'm pulling a double feature tonight of Mad Max Fury Road and Annihilation. Both just feel right somehow. Can't put my finger on why. Well, they're both great films, personally speaking, and colorful. JJ writes, French Connection last night, A Face in the Crowd over the weekend, and the documentaries of ZZ Top and Miles Davis on Netflix. Elaine writes, Drive and Anon. Mark Dubeck, who's been on this show, So I've Married an Axe Murderer, Twilight Zone the Movie, Three Men and a Baby, and Three Men and a Little Lady, wow, and the 1970s version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Michelle writes, Lainey and I watched Jerry Maguire last night. She was resistant, but I think she enjoyed it. She was mostly concerned that their relationship was moving way too fast to be good for anybody. Well, if Michelle, if you want to bring that up to her, bring up how Tom Cruise can go from Phoenix to L.A. and the women's group is still chatting, even though probably realistically he would get into Los Angeles and get to her home by at least 5 or 6 in the morning. Just saying. Daniel writes, Dick, that's the film, The Maltese Falcon, The Black Widow with Willem Dafoe, The Errol Flynn Robin Hood, I'll Take Sweden, The Court Jester, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, that's the Kim Darby film, Jezebel, Don Juan, 101 Dalmatians, Now Voyager, A Stolen Life, Knives Out, and Another Thin Man. Adam writes, I rewatched What's Up, Doc on Amazon. Very soothing and darn funny. Barbara writes, Knives Out. Kelly writes, we stumbled onto Amazon Prime's massive collection of so bad they're good movies that we watched the smash hit Velasquez. I'm butchering that title. A story of a pastor who turns into a dinosaur at night and kills bad guys. Oh, Kelly, I knew you'd watch that. Next in our lineup, Ants on a Plane. Susie writes, A Man Called Uwe, a lovely and funny and a little sad Swedish film, which I have seen, Susie. I liked it as well. Matt writes, Uncut Gems and Contagion. Ooh. Paige writes, working through one Nicolas Cage film a night until we are able to leave the house or until I can't take it anymore and tap out. It depends on where you're starting, Paige. If you're starting chronologically, you might be okay for a while. Gretchen writes, Lust for Life. That's, of course, Kirk Douglas's Van Gogh. Harriet, the 1996 film version of Emma. Frozen 2, more of the Victoria series, and National Geographic's Seventh Continent about Antarctica. And Knives Out for the second time because certain family members hadn't seen it yet. Thank you, Gretchen. Melissa writes, I watched Nobody's Fool recently, and my husband had Teen Wolf on this past weekend. This is the Paul Newman Nobody's Fool, not the Eric Roberts Nobody's Fool. Larry writes, True Romance, one of my all-time favorites, amazing cast list. Indeed. Linda writes, Sully, I can only imagine, and Bring Down the House. Michonne writes, Tom Hanks Marathon, Splash, Big, A League of Their Own, That Thing You Do, and as a bonus, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Catch Me If You Can, will be up next. Tom and his wife, Rita, they produced My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Jackie writes, currently working my way through the original Dallas series, hoping to watch Silkwood tomorrow and once everyone is home at the same time. Rox writes, Darby O'Gill and the Little People, just because it's in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day. There you go. Jeff writes, I just finished Devil in a Blue Dress. I can't say it's my favorite film, but I've always watched anything with Denzel Washington in it. I agree. Tom Sizemore does an outstanding job. Also, if I'm ever home at sick and I don't feel good, I put on A Passage to India. Well, that'll kill the time. Jeff, I liked Devil in a Blue Dress more than you did, and you can't forget that for a lot of people, that was their introduction to Don Cheadle as Mouse. Tom writes, Tintin and Ridiculous Six. Suzanne writes, finished The Clown and started Broadchurch. Love both. Paula writes, all disaster movies. All disaster movies, Paula? All Irwin Allen stuff of the 70s? Just asking. Adam writes, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Julie and Julia, The Mummy Returns, Spencer Confidential, and I'm rewatching Vikings. Patrick writes, okay. It's clear that I spent most of spring break wearing a baby in an air ago and camped in front of a television, but The Magnificent Seven, 1960s version. She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, Oblivion, Ghost in the Shell, Parallax View, The Hangover, How the West Was Won, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, Moonstruck, Goodfellas, Sunset Boulevard, Star Trek 2009, The Sunshine Boys, again with the finger, The Accountant, The Heat, Interstellar, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, the first half of North by Northwest, the middle third of Taken, and Tinker Bell and the Lost Treasure. Patrick, I've been there. Zia writes, slowly working my way through every Jane Austen adaptation made since 1995. Good luck with that. That'll be a good romp. Susan writes, been doing shared streaming with our three girls this week, and we've chosen a film so far, doing throwbacks like Dude, Where's My Car?, Dodgeball, the 90s version of Little Women. This Sunday will be a mystery, so open for any suggestions. It's fun. Thank you, Susan. That's what the show is for. Devin writes, so far I've watched the Pixar movies I've never seen. Brave, Ratatouille, and The Good Dinosaur. The Cars series is next. And Eric wrote, let's see, I love this. He sent me a private message. Technically, I'm supposed to be signed off of Facebook, but here's what I've been watching since I decided to shelter in place last week. Trying to catch up on movies I've missed for one reason or another from several eras. Wildlife, Dark Waters, The Seventh Cross from 1944, Knives Out, Killer of Sheep from 1979. I need to check that one out as well, Eric. I Wake Up Screaming, Bloody Sunday, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Born to Kill, and Bombshell. Bombshell came out on video last week, if I remember correctly. And finally, going to Twitter, Scott writes, Zach has been rewatching Space Jam for comfort. We watched the 1974 film version of Murder on the Orient Express for the first time. I watched Hillary on Hulu. As for TV, Superstore, Took on Birdie, and a 2004 season of Amazing Race. Scott writes, that thing you do is my all-time top pick when I need to feel good. My buddy Laura calls it the nicest movie ever made. So I think that's it. That's really about it, folks. So keep if you're stuck for movies, we just gave you minutes and minutes of titles that other folks have been watching. And I have no idea what I'm going to be watching next. I'm not doing the obvious stuff. I'm not doing Contagion or anything or Outbreak or anything plague oriented. We are not going to be cooking Soylent Green and watching Soylent Green. We'll just have to find out what we do next week. So between now and next week, if you want to keep a list, that's what I've been doing. And we'll talk to each other next week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Be good to one another, and hopefully we'll get through this. So, with that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Soylent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Friends, watch a good movie. We all deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!